Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Antetokounmpo drives on Griffin, spins up and under, layup is good! 49 points for Giannis, the lead back to 5.
It's You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
Mike Breen with the call there on ABC. Very interesting defensive strategy, I felt like, from the Nets on Sunday against Milwaukee, basically leaving Giannis open to just knock down jumper after jumper, yep. Three-pointer after three-pointer, and Giannis scores 49 points. Ken, and the Bucks take down the Nets 117 to 114, and by virtue of that, and Philadelphia's last-second win over the San Antonio Spurs, Philly now a half game up in the Eastern Conference for the number one seed over the Nets, three up on the Milwaukee Bucks. So Giannis scores 49, Durant scores 42. A great game. Still no James Harden for the Nets. We have to take that under consideration here. So kind of a lot to digest here, Ken. Like, what do we make of this game yesterday, if anything? What do we want to do with the Eastern Conference, if anything? Have we been sleeping on the Bucks? I can feel like I'd ask about 50 more hypotheticals here, but why don't you just start emptying the tank?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, a big bucket full of life?
What happened to Roswell? And what do we do with Giannis?
I don't think there's an obvious starting point here. Let me like start with the most obvious thing possible. If this game proves one thing, it's that none of these teams should want to be the two or the three seed in the Eastern Conference. Philly and Brooklyn and Milwaukee, like the absolute war that is going to take place between whichever two of the three teams that advance to the second round. Like, forget the individual matchups, forget like the statistics from yesterday's game. Playing one of these teams or them playing each other versus playing Atlanta in the second round, or the Knicks. I mean, there are two seismic differences that will occur in the NBA playoffs from a win probability standpoint, and they will, in one case, not be the fault of the good team, but in this case, it's kind of like you want to try to get the one seed. Whoever draws the Lakers in the first round versus drawing Dallas or Portland or whoever, and this could be the Clippers, like for people who out there who love the Clippers, Clippers-Lakers first round, very strong possibility right now. Can you imagine? Suns have the most amazing season ever, could draw the Lakers. The win probability difference there, I mean, it's got to be like 25% or something. I mean, just the craziest number imaginable, where you go from the Suns would be a big favorite against another team. They'd be a big, you know, probably a reasonable underdog against the Lakers. In the Eastern Conference, these teams would be about 50% against each other. Brooklyn would be favored in the series. I don't think that's arguable. We could talk about the market for this game we saw yesterday too, but it wouldn't be a big favorite. And Brooklyn would be like minus 10 billion against everybody else. So just that, we can just start there. Like, just the prices, just before even how these two teams match up with each other, they should both never want to play each other. They should both be trying desperately to have what happened yesterday not have to happen, and to go the much easier route. We just played the most compressed schedule ever. You want to play that team more? The team you just played. Forget if you had Harden or not. You want to play that team more? So we can, I mean, biggest treetop position imaginable, win probability wise, getting the one, what yesterday's game proves, getting the one, the biggest advantage imaginable.
Let's get a little more specific now. Your thoughts on the market for yesterday's game between Milwaukee and Brooklyn?
The last 2 years, which I've done like my ratings for, and they're determined a lot by the market closing spread for the games between the teams. Milwaukee always grades out as the best team last 2 years. And it's actually, they grade out by a good amount. And in their games, the last 2 years against the Lakers and the Clippers, who have been the other two really good teams in the conference, Lakers last year, especially, Bucks were favored in all those games. And that kind of bears out that the market kind of feels like, in a regular season, one game situation, the Bucks are rated as the best team in the NBA. This year hasn't exactly been the case. The Bucks are still like favored by a lot against a lot of teams. They're favored against elite teams. Yesterday's spread, James Harden doesn't play in the game. There's no questioning he is a spread impact player. We can kind of agree on his value with the other two playing. Not as much, obviously, as if it's, you know, no Kyrie, no Durant, and Harden's playing, but he matters. Matters a lot. And he matters to the win probability for the Nets. Yet yesterday's game, with neither team on the second night of a back-to-back, and with the Bucks playing with a completely healthy roster, like, yes, Bobby Portis didn't play, but like as full a deck as you're going to get in a home game. And they closed between 2 and 2.5 at home against Brooklyn. I found that really interesting. Like, just where were we going to end up? Like, how interested was everyone going to be in each side? And kind of where would, once all the information was gathered about where people, what people were interested in betting in this game, what would the line close at? I mean, if you apply any reasonable home court advantage, which I think is warranted in, especially in this kind of a game, market kind of said, you know, these teams are either exactly the same or the Brooklyn Nets are a little bit better, depending on how much win probability you want to apply for home court. And James Harden didn't play in the game, and market was basically like, Brooklyn's a little bit better. So I think that's kind of interesting too, but regardless of who won and who made the shots and the individual cross matches and everything, market kind of started the game with the idea that, yeah, no Harden, but like, we like Brooklyn. Maybe the teams are dead even, but we like Brooklyn a little bit more. I think that's interesting too.
I kind of want to play this out a little bit. And if indeed it's Brooklyn and Milwaukee in the second rounds of the playoffs, like, I would never bet Milwaukee, like, assuming that Brooklyn's got the big three and all three guys are going to be playing. But like, what's Brooklyn going to do to stop Giannis in that series? Like, DeAndre Jordan ain't going to do it. Giannis put 35 of his 49 on him. Like, the strategy, like, that's bold cotton of leaving Giannis open. He may not make all the jumpers again, but like, he's going to tear through them in that series. I still think I like Brooklyn to win it here, but does that give you pause? Like, what's Brooklyn going to do against this guy? Like, maybe they'll outscore them here, but what do you think about that specific matchup?
Sure. I think the most interesting sort of like where I'm the most neutral on this series. So I would like Brooklyn if they played again, if they played in the playoff series, I would like Brooklyn a lot. I can get into kind of my one big takeaway from the game yesterday that I actually thought was the most important thing, which we haven't done yet. But from a Giannis standpoint, the people who are pro Milwaukee will look at that game and they'll go like, Brooklyn doesn't have a way to defend this guy. Especially when he's making outside shots, he's unstoppable. Like, look at what he can do to this team. This is the reason I like Milwaukee. And people who like Brooklyn will say, well, Brooklyn wasn't showing anything, didn't show their hand whatsoever, never doubled, never trapped, never made an adjustment on defense. Nash said afterwards they didn't do that.
When Harden's back, you can have, correct. And I think maybe like, Durant can cover Giannis a little bit, and maybe you lose a little bit from Durant on the offensive end,
right?
But you've got Kyrie and Harden to kind of pick up the slack.
I think there are two defensive things from yesterday's game that would hold true whether Harden's playing in the game or not. One is that Drew Holiday will guard Kyrie like every single possession imaginable. And the other is that the Nets still have basically no one who can cover Giannis, because nobody really does. But the Nets aren't any better or worse equipped to cover him than basically anybody else. It's impossible for everyone. I think the biggest kind of weird thing in this series is, why do we hate Milwaukee every year, right? We don't hate them because they lose these games in April. They win these games all the time. They beat the Lakers and the Clippers last year, who were the two best teams in the league. So, yeah, smoked both of them, actually, I think. We don't hate the Bucks because of that. We hate them because, much like the D'Antoni Houston Rockets, it's okay, single regular season game, you're amazing. Long playoff series where team adjusts to you, less amazing, and tendency to not play very well in those situations. And with Budenholzer and the Bucks, identical thing, right? Oh, you get up 2-0 on Toronto, then you get smoked. You play Miami, and like, once they kind of exactly figure out what you're doing, you have no chance, and it's miserable and embarrassing. And there are lots of situations with the Bucks where we've made that argument. Here's the most interesting thing, though. If they were playing the Sixers, I would feel better about saying that. If they were playing the Celtics from an adjustment standpoint, I would feel better about that, even though I think the Bucks would be the Celtics. The Bucks are, okay, they're a team that you can adjust to, that's maybe like the coaching is the way you take advantage of them. Is Steve Nash going to be able to do that? Is that something that when we get to game 3, 4, 5, 6, Is he the guy? Oh, by the way, like, it's the absolute chef's kiss that D'Antoni is his assistant, by the way. The guy who would coach the other team that this happened to every single time. Like, they're playing each other. Like, it could be the two Spider-Men pointing at each other. That could be the series where it's just no adjustments ever from literally either coach, and we just run this out and play, you know, first to 150 every single game with both of these teams where know what to do to each other. Well, yeah, and it would be extremely fun and entertaining, but, like, if that is Milwaukee's weakness, if we all kind of acknowledge excellent regular season team, now their crunch time five is a little bit better with Holiday and DiVincenzo playing better, but the one weakness is, like, once you get them into a series and drag it out, like with the Harden Rockets, you can kind of figure them out and solve Giannis enough that you can actually take advantage of them. Should we trust Brooklyn to be able to do that? So that's the one where I kind of teeter back and forth on, like, which coach that I don't trust should I end up trusting when we get to this point? And Brooklyn's more talented. Maybe the answer is them. But I do think that's, like, a really fascinating pivot point that you wouldn't have with a matchup between the Bucks and literally any other team.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
You better. You bet. BetQL Audio Network. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley going over this weekend's NBA results as it affects the top of the Eastern Conference. Ken, over at our show sponsor, Bet Rivers, the Brooklyn Nets are the favorite to win the Eastern Conference and the NBA title, but we'll focus on the East for right now. Brooklyn -112 to win the East. Milwaukee up next at +350. Philly is third at +440. Now, we have spent some time here on You Better You Bet talking about that. Philly should never be third, right? Should be second behind Brooklyn. But isn't that more pronounced now? Like, how crazy that is for Philly to be +440, third behind Brooklyn and Milwaukee. If Philly is ahead of Brooklyn right now, which they are, to be the number one seed. Philly's got an easier schedule coming up down the stretch. Philly's healthier right now than Brooklyn. Like, is the time now to bet the Philadelphia 76ers? Like, for people that have not yet placed a bet, is this a bet worth making? Philly right now +440 to win the East?
Yes. It's not like the most amazing bet ever, but if you want to free roll it, the $100 goes on the Sixers for sure. I think the interesting thing is the Bucks are now completely healthy and full strength down the stretch. If Durant plays as often as I think he's going to play down the stretch, Harden's not going to play until the playoff start. I think we can kind of read between the lines and see that that's going
to
happen.
Well, the Nets have to know this, right? To your point about Durant, like, they have to know, like, hey, like, we don't want seven games of this, what we just got yesterday. They have to know that, right?
All of their quotes are basically telling you, like, yeah, but, like, we'll get Harden, like, we're good. We'll get Harden back, and, like, this isn't a big deal. Like, nothing seems important or serious to them in any regular season game or in any topic that doesn't involve the playoffs.
Do you think
it'll be interesting? Yeah, well,
like, does it matter? Does it matter?
It does. I think you want to be the one. That's, like, the best way I can put it. I think being the one matters. I think whether you won this game yesterday, I don't think matters at all. And my most important takeaway, which relates to this just in terms of, like, you know, what team do you want to bet on? And, like, going forward, who are we the most confident in? Which is kind of the question that you're asking as well. I think, honestly, the most important thing that happened in yesterday's game is that Kevin Durant was a complete question mark for like 4 months about what this was going to be, and comes back, looks awesome for a month. He and Kyrie haven't played for a variety of different reasons, but like Durant had an injury, and we really had no idea for someone coming off of his serious injury to then like, what are we going to get from Kevin Durant coming up in the postseason? We have no idea. We also don't know what we're going to get from James Harden, but like he hasn't played yet. Kevin Durant giving you the performance that he gave you yesterday, at least I think alleviates some of the question asking about what version of Brooklyn you can get in the playoffs. Like, okay, at least we're pretty sure he's good. Like, at least he was able to play like an elite level competition and put up the numbers that he put up. And you could be like, well, Giannis outperformed, and be like, but we're not asking questions about, I know what Giannis is going to be in the playoffs. Like, the Nets are the prohibitive favorite. They're the prohibitive favorite when their best player, we had no idea what it was going to be. I think at least it doesn't answer all the questions. It's one game, but like to see that, in terms of what we can take from that game and put forward into a postseason projection, like that was the most important thing to me, that elite big time game, have to take every shot down the stretch because Holiday's all over Kyrie Irving every time. For Durant to do that, I think if you like Brooklyn, that made you feel a lot better more than anything else that happened in the game.
You have anything else on the Eastern Conference here, or we want to talk about the Lakers for a couple minutes here before we go to break?
Yeah, we can talk. I mean, we have plenty, but these teams play again, by the way, to like tomorrow night, literally they play again. So we'll have a lot
tomorrow.
More. Or listening to the podcast today. We can, you know, obviously play out a lot more of this tomorrow and then after they play the second time. So we can do some West for a couple minutes.
So we'll be brief on the series. We only have a couple minutes, and then we'll do a lot more of it with Whale Capper in the final hour of the show today. The Lakers have lost 6 of 7. They give up a combined 1 billion points on Sunday to Kyle Lowry and Pascal Siakam, lose to the Raptors. LeBron leaves with 6 and change left in the fourth quarter. LeBron not going to play tonight against the Denver Nuggets. By the way, also appreciated Magic Johnson. Shout out to Magic tweeting that Nikola Jokic is the MVP.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Magic. Right. We collectively as a show, we appreciate that here. And it's just like high comedy, right? When LeBron loved the play-in tournament last year, so did Mark Cuban. Now they both hate it because they may have to play in it, right? And Ken, from our pre-show phone call, like, you think that that's likely here, that we are, and we said, and I'll give you credit because I think you were the first person in this space that was on this, that the Lakers play in tournament or miss playoffs potentially as a result of the 2 injuries to Davis and LeBron. Davis still doesn't look right, still doesn't look like himself. LeBron is telling you he's not himself. Lakers are tied with Portland ahead by the tiebreaker right now to stay out of the play in tournament. Lakers going to be in the play in tournament, right?
Yeah, I think it's their most likely destination by far is to be the 7. I think that's their most likely seed. They have a top 10 most difficult schedule remaining. They only have like 2 gimme games left on the schedule. They just announced Dennis Schroeder will miss basically the entire rest of the regular season with health and safety protocols. We know
14 days entered yesterday, so 2 weeks about. Yep.
And 2 weeks left in the regular season. So even if he's not a spread impact player as much as LeBron or Anthony Davis, we both kind of agree this is like such a key cog for what the Lakers do. And if you're playing a really difficult schedule, you're not going to have one of your best players. LeBron's not going to play the second night of back-to-backs.
Like, if LeBron's not there, you need Schroeder. If LeBron's not there, you have to have Schroeder.
Right. And it's not that like when we get to the playoffs, they can't be awesome. But now in this situation, in the play-in tournament, like, yeah, you could have the Lakers being in a 1 game to make the playoffs. You could have the Lakers just, again, it's about trying harder and having to expend more energy to get where you want to go. And that should make you less likely to win those things at the end. I think that's really easy to understand.
Lakers right now, +175, the favorite to win the Western Conference over at Bet Rivers. Clippers +240, Jazz +325. Suns +900. Something to think about. We'll talk about it in the final hour with our buddy Drew Dinsick, the Whale Capper. But coming up next, we welcome in Adam Burke from ATS.io. Talk Major League Baseball takeaways from the weekend and tonight's card here on You Better You Bet.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.